Good morning. Morning. Before we go too far, there's an announcement I've got to give. The landlord at the pub over the road has asked if anyone's parked the car over there, can they please move it by 12 midday, because they've got a big function happening today. And it doesn't want you to get blocked in. So that's that. Notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will be held at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday, the Sunday service will be led by Sandra Fore, and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. It's my pleasure to welcome the Reverend Peter Kimberley. It's lovely to have you back with us, Peter. I'm going to hand over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, it's a pleasure to be back. Our call to worship this morning. We lift our eyes up to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We look not to the mountains or the valleys, even heaven or earth, for God is found among us. Wherever two or three gathered in Christ's name, God is here among us. Come, let us offer our worship and our prayers to the God of creation, the God of people, the God of community. Let us follow Jesus, for Jesus is the way. So let us worship and pray together in faith. And I invite you to stand as you're able as we open our worship with our opening hymn, Light of the World. And I believe you'll find it in your hymn books at 1419. So let us approach God with our prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude, recognising your infinite wisdom and mysterious ways in which your kingdom grows. Just as the farmer sows seeds and waits patiently for the harvest, help us to trust in your timing and your process. We know that even though we may not see immediate results, you are at work, nurturing and growing the seeds of faith, love and hope within us. Lord, give us the faith to believe that small beginnings can lead to great outcomes. Just as the mustard seed, though the smallest of all seed, grows into the largest of garden plants. May our small acts of kindness and our humble efforts to follow you expand into magnificent testament of your love and power. Grant us patience and perseverance as we wait for the fruits of our labour. Teach us to be diligent in sowing seeds of goodness, to trust in the unseen growth, and to celebrate the harvest when it comes. Help us to recognise that the growth of your kingdom is not by our might or power, but by your Spirit. We pray that you use us as instruments in your hands, sowing seeds of your word and love in the world. And may our lives be a reflection of your kingdom, growing steadily and bearing fruit that glorifies your name. Strengthen our faith, deepen our trust, and enlarge our vision to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And in Jesus' name we offer these prayers. And we, in Jesus' name we share the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we're going to hear from the Gospel of Mark and from chapter 4. That's okay, that's fine, I've got it. That's not a problem. No, it's fine.
That was last week, was it? Sorry.
There we are.
I don't think we got that message.
Sorry?
I don't think we had the message to find somebody.
Oh, okay. That's, it's a good job I'm here then. From Mark, chapter 4, 26 to 34. The parable of the growing seed, and I'm reading from the New Good News Translation. Jesus went on to say, The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. He does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the head, and finally the head full of grain. Then the grain is ripe. The man starts cutting it with his sickle because the harvest time has come. The parable of the mustard seed. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Asked Jesus. What parable shall we use to explain it? It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade. Teacher preached his message to the people. Using many other parables like these, he told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables, but when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. I'm a bit nervous because I've got one of my old teachers in this congregation today. So I've got to be careful what I say. But my theme for today is every day is a school day, isn't it? Every day is a school day. And we hopefully learn something new every day. We don't stop learning just because we've advanced in years. Sometimes we learn even more. And our school teachers have an incredible influence on our lives. I loved Grangehurst, by the way. I just want to say it. As for that other chit school up the road, oh dear. And as I was reflecting, as I was writing the sermon, I recalled several of my teachers. And what I remember was significant about them. Got to be careful what I say, haven't I? Mr. Starkey. Cycled everywhere. Always on a bicycle. He was science. Remember your science? Yeah. I think biology was his favourite, but he was a science teacher. Mr. Penfold? Anyone remember Mr. Penfold? Deadly at 10 yards with a board rubber. You didn't misbehave in Mr. Penfold's class. And you know what happened when he threw the board rubber at you? You had to pick it up and take it back to him. Wouldn't get away with that today, would they? Oh, my life. Oh, Mr. Hermitage. I loved Mr. Hermitage. Mr. Penfold, by the way, was maths. Mr. Hermitage was also maths. Loved to tell the class about his exploits as a school child himself. And he was so easily sidetracked. He hardly ever taught us any maths. We could get him on any subject you wanted. Oh, he's hilarious. I loved him. And, of course, Mrs. Hermitage. Little woman. Lovely. Curly hair. Remember? She was married to Mr. Hermitage. That's why she was famous. Mr. Doherty. R.E. Big beard. Actually looked like Jesus. But he rode a motorbike. I don't think Jesus rode a motorbike, did he? White motorbike with a big white fairing. Big lamp. I can't remember a thing that you taught me, but there you are. Or maybe I can. Oh, I don't know how to say this one. Miss Walsh. Oh dear. Wore the shortest miniskirts I can remember. Oh my life. And as a young boy, English, Miss Walsh. I remember her being English. Mr. Davis and Mr. Myatt, art. Oof, dear Lord. What were they like? We never had a break time. We were always in detention. I don't think we were the only class. I don't know what they did. They fitted us all in. Because Diane, my good lady wife, who I met at school, always has the same memory of art classes and being in detention at break times. So we weren't the only ones. Mr. Rigby from science. No? Oh, I showed him. I showed him. I got an O level in science. And Mr. Maul, woodwork. I loved Mr. Wall. He was about this high. He was... and I'm not the tallest, dwarfed him. You know, oh, bless him. He's a lovely man. Lovely, lovely man. And I couldn't have done too bad because I scraped through with three O levels. And for somebody that actually had mental blocks when he sat in front of exam papers, that's not bad. So they must have been good for me. But I'm going to stop there, because I'm going to give you an opportunity, just a couple of minutes, just for you to talk about your favourite school teachers and what you remember about them, because I've shared you with mine. So what do you know about yours? Because you know their names, don't you? Come on then. Who was your favourite and why? And what was the favourite lesson? Home economics. Oh, Lord. Go on, have a little chat. Go on. It's your time. Foxville then? Oh, wow. Okay. German. Yeah, Mrs. Townsend as well. She was from German, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you were similar vintage to me, that's...
I'll be 16.
You were in the same year as me, then. I was West.
Yes.
West was the best. One West 3. Or 2 West 3 or 3 West 3, yeah. What's his name? He's not on there. Pete Kimberley. Who are you then?
Jeff Cunningham.
Perhaps you were the year below me then. Yeah, you would have been, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was quite one of the oldest.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have been. Yeah, you'd have been the year below me then. Yeah, almost. Yeah. Isn't it? Well, it is. I used to grow up here. Well, how's about that then? Let me ask you one more question before we proceed with the service. Who is the greatest teacher of all? Oh! Top of the class! Well done, you folks. You've got my theme for the day. And of course, Jesus, as we heard, taught in parables. And one of the challenges that we've got as Christians, even today, even more so today, is to unpack those parables, to get into the nitty-gritty of what Jesus is trying to tell us. Because Jesus is trying to tell us how to live and what God is like. Because, of course, Jesus is the perfect representation of God incarnate, God with us. This is what it's like. The kingdom of God is like. And it's up for us to go, we need to work with that. There's so many people in our world today want to dismiss this such important teaching. Because, boy, when you think about it, just think of one bit of teaching. Here, my favourite bit. Love your enemies. What an amazing impact on the world that would have. There wouldn't be anything called knife crime, would there? Just want to put that out there. So as we come together and we think about the theme and who is the greatest teacher of all, we're going to join together in song once more. I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able, as we're going to ask Jesus to teach us to dance. And it's in your hymn books as 1013. Call me corny if you will. I don't care.
Teach me the war in the land.
And so at this point in the service, we'll take up the offertory. So let us join together in prayer once more. Lord Jesus, you give us so much. And in fact, you give us everything. All that we have comes from you and is a blessing from you. And we ask you that you bless this, our offertory this morning, as we give a little bit back to you. We know we can't earn or pay for our place in heaven. We get it through grace and grace alone. But we do know that we can show our hearts in true giving to you. So bless us as we give back to you. Bless us as we give back with our money, but also as we give back with our time, our hope, and our faith. And in your name, we pray. Amen. And so we're going to hear from the Bible once more, and from Matthew, and we're going to go chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. And again, I've got the Good News translation in front of me here. So Matthew 13, 44 to 46. The parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has and then goes back and buys that field. And the parable of the pearl. Jesus said, also the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is so unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has to buy that pearl. He sells everything he has to buy that pearl. Once more, I invite you to stand as you're able, as we join together in song once more. Number 42 in your hymn books, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
So as you gather, we're looking at Jesus as the greatest teacher of all. And we thought about our school teachers and what was significant and memorable about them. However, school teachers have and do only provide some of our learning. And as I've already shared with you, every day is a school day. We never stop learning, no matter how small the opportunity for learning is for us. So, as we've got you to share your school teaching memories, who was your favourite school teacher? Who was the greatest teacher? However, today we're focusing and reflecting on the teachings of Jesus. And I hope you agree that Jesus was the best teacher there could possibly have been or could possibly be. His teachings span millennium. His teachings are radical and remarkable and life-changing. Jesus did not just give us a moral code to live by. His teachings are far, far greater than that. The four Gospels of the Bible record over 30 parables given by Jesus as a way of teaching both his disciples and the crowds who gathered to listen to him, and of course the teachers of the law, who felt very threatened by Jesus' teaching, and of course us. So when did Jesus start teaching? And the answer, I think, is perhaps a little bit earlier than you might think. The only real account of Jesus' childhood we have in the Bible can be found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. And I start at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, and while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled for a day. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, so that's 4 days, after 3 days they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So even at the tender age of 12, Jesus is causing amazement with his teaching and understanding. So note, right at the start, the beginning, Jesus is teaching the teachers. He's in amongst all the really clever people. And they're all like, wow, where's this learning coming from? But perhaps because he's only 12, they don't feel threatened by him. All four of the gospel writers refer to Jesus' teaching in one way or another. And I think you'll get a theme when I start reading some of these out. Matthew 4, 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease, sickness amongst the people. Mark 1, 22. The people were amazed at his teaching. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not just as the teachers of the law. Mark 1:27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. from Luke 4. He was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. So when you start to reflect on Jesus' teaching, a number of things become clear. Firstly, let us reflect on the effect Jesus' teaching had on those who heard it. So the general populace, ordinary folk, they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers from? They asked. It's clear that the people were hearing a very different teaching from that from the teachers of the law. And Jesus is described as teaching with authority. When the people heard what Jesus had to say, it left them with a sensation of awe at his teaching. Obviously, it was the authority with which Jesus spoke that grabbed people's attention. Other teachers in Jesus' time, those in the temple, quoted authorities. But Jesus spoke with authority. Jesus assumed the authority. He was the authority. Jesus taught his disciples, the gathered crowds, the teachers of the law, many things. But the underlying teaching regarded the meaning of life, the meaning of the laws, and not the way the other teachers of the law saw it. And Jesus taught on the principles underlying life. Jesus was not just a moralist. Jesus didn't come here, and doesn't come into our lives to say, oh, don't do this and don't do that. That's not what he's about. Jesus isn't imposing an immoral code on humanity, which humanity was not made for, by the way. Jesus knows us. That's why he's on the cross, dying for our sins. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, he says. Jesus was the revealer of the truth, the revealer of nature. He first revealed the nature and character of God. Jesus is here to tell us and to show us who God is. And he went on to show the nature and character of God is ground in God's conduct and how this should be the very ground of our being. It's not a big set of do's and don'ts. This is Jesus showing us who God is. That's what his teaching is all about. And as we reflect further, let us reflect on the teachings of Jesus from another side, from the teachers of the law. The posh blokes at the front with the fancy dresses. From Mark 11, is a perfect example of how the teachers of the law reacted to Jesus. Mark 11. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? And the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him because the whole crowd were amazed at his teaching. You get it? He's undermining their posh. He's going beneath the posh frocks and the fancy beards. Quite clearly, the chief priests and the teachers of the law are feeling very threatened by this new teaching. The impact of Jesus' teaching is being felt at the highest level of Judean society, and they don't like it, do they? Jesus' teaching is about turning the world upside down, and those at the top are feeling very threatened by Jesus as he highlights the injustice of their actions and the corruption within the temple hierarchies. You're turning my temple into a den of robbers, he says. I mean, wow. And so the temple authorities accused Jesus of stirring up trouble and stirring up the people. Luke 23. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people of all Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and he's come all the way here." So this troublemaker started all the way over here and now he's here. Do something about it. And of course they're talking to the Romans because they're in charge. You see where this is going, can't you? Jesus' teaching is so radical, so different, that the authorities wanted him silenced for good. But why was this? Jesus emphasized the concept of the kingdom of God. Matthew 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Jesus described the kingdom as both a present reality and a future promise. This teaching focused from a shift of legalistic and ritualistic view of faith, one which, of course, the chief priests and the teachers of the law had corrupted and made a lot of money from, to a more personal and relational understanding of God. God with us. We take that for granted now, don't we? God is with us, God incarnate. Wasn't then. Remember what happened on the afternoon when Jesus was crucified? The curtain in the temple split in two, because then God gives us access. It's a symbolic act. You don't. The intercessors, the priests, they haven't got it all. You can have it all. God with us. Jesus' teaching on love, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, emphasizes loving one's enemies, turning the other cheek, and that golden rule that we all love to cling to: do unto others as you would have do them unto you. This teaching advocated for a radical love and compassion. Jesus' outreach into the marginalised groups, including tax collectors, sinners, women, Samaritans, Gentiles. This is incredibly racist, exclusive community in which Jesus is saying these things. He's trying to break down all of the barriers, all of those that are put outside the community. Jesus is pulling them in. This is causing real difficulty. And when I reflect on the teachings of Jesus, I find myself open-mouthed at the radical nature of his teaching. I ponder on how, if only we adopted this teaching in all its fullness. Love your enemies. Just think about that just for a moment. Wouldn't need bombs, would we? Wouldn't need tanks. Wouldn't need guns. I wouldn't. Knife crime, no, but there wouldn't be such a thing, would there? We would not have the gross inequalities we find in our world today either. Because it'd be surrounded with love, and that's what God's meant. That's what God meant for this world. And yet we make such a mess of it, because all we've got to do is love one another. How hard can that be? But we make such a mess of it. So what's gone wrong? Jesus lifted up the laws of effective living, which are written into the very fabric of the universe. A teaching that extends deep into every nerve and tissue of our being. Jesus did not impose idealism, but exposed realism. We have simply failed to allow his teaching in. we've sat at the back of class and failed to notice the most radical and life-giving teaching is right here in our Bibles, in our hearts, waiting for us just to pick it up and wrestle with it. I printed out, because like all good teachers, you need homework. And don't put it in the bottom of your satchel, where your lunchbox makes a mess of it, it'll get smudged. I've printed out the parables. I know you've all got Bibles at home. Yeah? But I want you to take these. Look at the parables. Spend an hour. How many hours are there in a week? I don't know. Can't do the maths. Sorry, Mr. Penfold. Duck the board, rubber. Spend an hour during the week just poring over these parables. See what it says to you. I'm just going to leave them at the front. Come pick them up later. Coming back next week to Mark, 10 out of 10. I'm hoping I don't have to say, come and see me after church. God bless teachers, especially today. They seem to have an impossible task. But there it is. So like I say, I'd like you to take the parables home. Just take them home, scribble on the back. Just wrestle with them. Because they'll tell you a little bit about what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of heaven is of something of such great value that if you find it in a field, you'd sell everything you've got to buy that field. So let's give thanks for Jesus' teaching. For something of such great value in our lives. We're going to come together in song once more. 1404 in your hymn books, King of Kings, Majesty. And so we come in together in prayer once more. No surprise, we're going to pray for teachers. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude and respect for teachers around the world. We lift them up to you, acknowledging the critical role they play in shaping the minds and hearts of future generations. Bless them abundantly with wisdom, patience, and love as they guide their students each day. Lord, grant teachers the strength and resilience to face the many challenges that come their way. Equip them with creativity and resourcefulness to inspire a love of learning in their students. Help them to see each child as you do, full of potential and worthy of care and respect. We pray for peace and encouragement in their hearts, especially during times of difficulty and stress. Remind them of the significant impact they have, even when the fruits of their labour are not immediately visible. May they find joy and fulfilment in their calling. Know that you are with them, planting seeds of knowledge, compassion, and hope. Father, we ask for your protection over teachers, keeping them safe and healthy. Surround them with supportive communities that uplift and appreciate them. Provide for their needs and give them the resources to succeed in their mission. May your love and wisdom flow through them as they teach, guide, and nurture their students. Help them to be a light in their schools and communities, reflecting on your grace and truth in all they do. And in Jesus' name, we offer this prayer. Amen. And I invite you to stand once more as we conclude our worship this morning, because hopefully we are going to go out with joy, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes. 640 in your hymn books. The joy of the hearts that love you, the strength of the wills that serve you, grant us to know you, that we may truly love you, and so to love you, that we may fully serve you, and those whom we serve in your name. And so we go out in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you.